And so, as you probably can tell, unfortunately, our dear brother Bob is not well enough to lead today, this Sabbath. Lord willing, next, keeping him in prayer. So happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters, one and all. Or happy Sabbath preparation day coming to an end, whichever time zone you are in. God is in it all and through it all and over all and rules over all. Permissive will and his will for our lives are very real. It's good to be alive. I've chosen for our song to start tonight. One I think some might be familiar with. At Calvary. At Calvary. And for those who know the song, please feel free to take a verse. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
That's a pretty song, Brother James, but I don't know it, but I'll listen to you sing it and maybe I can pick it up. Thank you.
By God's word, at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the light's burn. Till my guilty soul imploring turn to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Amen. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I'm gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen. Dear Sister Dixie, have you got something you wanted to share?
I was just wondering about the condition of the pastor and Michelle and Brother Dick. I was just wondering about them. Been praying for them all week. How are they?
Well, good news. Brother Bob can still somewhat talk. And when I talk to him, he's in the room. Just on Thursday, our time. Unfortunately, if anything, it's a little worse for him and Sister Michelle, I haven't talked to, but, keep both in prayer. Brother Dick has improved, getting, in terms of getting some sleep, precious sleep. And unfortunately, Brother Jonathan has come down with something as well with his dear wife. Does anyone want to add anything to that?
Thank you so much for your prayers. The past couple days have seen improvement, which is fantastic. But today was like a step back. My fever is no longer up 103.5. It's now down consistently below 101. And God is good. Michelle has felt the best this morning than she has for a while, but it's like you make two strides forward and then there's like a step back. So we'll focus on the steps forward. And God will take care of any steps back. Again, thank you so much for your prayers. We're keeping you in ours. And heaven is looking so much better.
Brother Rob, have there been any herbs that have been effective?
Herbs, yes. Specific, I can't really isolate them. Supplements that have really helped is vitamin D3, zinc. No, I can't. I haven't tried elderberry. I know charcoal has been a great help, especially in helping to moderate the high temperature. But with it so high, I'm not being foolhardy. I haven't been dizzy. I haven't been super weak. So I've just been really closely monitoring it. But praise God that the body seems to have recognized how to attack it and is doing so little by little. So apparently it's just a matter of time. And God is very good. Again, oh yeah, I've slept more in this past week and a half than I think I've ever slept since I was a baby. So thank you again so much. Again, this meeting is focused on God's goodness, but I do thank you so very much for your prayers, and blessed be the name of the Lord.
Oh, thank you, bro, for keeping us informed and for the question and answer. You indeed will all keep you in prayer. Continue. Praise the Lord, you've been getting more rest. I didn't know a person can remember how much they rest in their baby, but it's obviously really good. A good amount. That's great. May you get much more. And yeah, amen. A comment in the room. It is only going to improve. God's blessing. Amen. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we start tonight's study and reading. As I mentioned earlier, our dear brother Bob is not feeling well enough to lead tonight, so I'm taking part in it, and Lord willing, he will very soon when he's much better. So keep him and Christina and Sister Michelle, Brother Dick, Brother Jonathan, Sister Julie, and anyone else I'm not mentioning by name just seem to be sick all at the same time, not necessarily with the same thing. So let's have a word of prayer. Precious Father in heaven, thank you very much for the privilege of being able to come before thy throne, that when we're on our knees, or if we can't be on our knees, when our heart and our head are closest, humbled, we are the closest to thy throne. We come acquainted with Jesus and our own sinfulness the closer we come to Jesus because of your righteousness, Jesus. And we want this effect to continue going on in our life. Not because we don't think we can follow you, but because we know you would have us take you at your word to believe that we can, despite what circumstances are ours. Thank you so much for giving precious rest to your beloved, especially when they're sick and they most especially need it. thank you for blessing them with energy enough to try herbs with the purpose of bringing the remedial agencies to produce results that will speed up recovery process. Thank you for blessing the food and the fluids and maintaining your creation and giving us the possibilities as being to be Christians and be recreated every single moment of the day and night into the image of your dear Son. Please help our, continue to help our brothers and sisters, especially those suffering right now, to have the power to be, to have the power of endurance, power of patience, the blessing of seeing through this ordeal. And they can share more testimonies. We're grateful Brother Bob could speak to us just this morning. What a privilege it is to hear, you know, firsthand. And I'm grateful we can converse like this in real time. We want to be fed from heaven. We believe, Jesus, you want us to live on the manna. And we believe part of that is in the blessed ministry, which we call, which the Bible calls the spirit of prophecy. And we're looking at such a book. We're nearing the end of it, Patriarchs and Prophets, that wonderful classic that's been around for over 100 years, that we might be quick to learn the lessons, but those lessons thoroughly, so that we repeat the good and avoid the bad and follow the right example when we find ourselves guilty of the bad. And thank you for hearkening and being so willing to dwell in each and every one of our hearts. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit to make this Christian life possible. Looking forward to thy leading and providence. Thank you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. That's exciting, sis. Your mum's reached 90. Sister Ma. What a blessing. My mum's just turned 69. She's 69 today. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, last week, what did we look at? We got through a few paragraphs in Patriarchs and Prophets, and we were looking at the fact that for a whole year after David's fall, he was living in apparent security, and there was no outward evidence of God's displeasure. And you know that displeasure is a good thing because it keeps things real, doesn't it? And though, like David, everyone who gets convicted of an evil course should turn from it, as we know David certainly did, the results of sin, even in this life, will be found bitter and hard to bear. And we read also that God intended the history of David's fall to serve as a warning that even those whom he has greatly blessed and favored, like David, are not to feel secure and neglect to be watchful and prayerful, which would imply that David wasn't at least leading up to that great sin with Bathsheba and thereafter. And of course, you would wonder what the life was like for that whole year, seemingly in apparent security, but not in God's arms. He came out later on, of course, he wrote that wonderful psalm. We looked at a couple of them last week. And one of the key things we looked at is the fact that he says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. So there was having the pardon, but it was also there was having conversion. There was fruits. There were fruits for that repentance in bringing out there's no guile coming out of the mouth. Or we could look at that a different way, which we did last week, of David sharing all the truth, however bad it was. Now, we also looked at the fact that there are some Christians, perhaps it's many, I don't know if there are any statistics on it, that confuse the two processes and claim that forgiveness on the ground of acknowledgement of guilt alone is all that's required. But we also noted that it's clear from the scriptures that God is actually interested in the practical aspect of the case. Besides sorrow for sin, which is, of course, important, repentance includes the expulsion of sin from the life, which, of course, is through the power of God as well. And, of course, we know that forgiveness will follow such an experience. You know, we're told in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in, I should say, let me just stop there. Many would stop there and say, so you don't need to obey the commandments because it's not of works. And of course we know that all have fallen short of the glory of God. None of us can buy our life, no matter how good it might be from now on, pay for the penalty, make up for a life of sin. That's why we need Jesus. But the quote continues to go on, so we're justified for the sins that are past. But the quote goes on, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Aha. So there's where the good works come in, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. That's Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. So we're not justified by works. Excuse me. We're not saved by our works, but we can't be saved without them because we're judged by our works. Why? Because our works prove if the justification through Christ for sins that are past are genuine. You know, if the root's right, the fruit will be right. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 7 that a fig tree won't produce thorns, and you're not going to expect thistles to come from a fig tree. So the root will match the fruit. So that's what we looked at last week. And so we pick it up at the 51st Psalm. And would someone like to read from there and read that psalm to us, what is quoted from Patriarchs and Prophets?
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness.
according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Psalm 51, verses 1 to 14.
Amen, dear sis. Thank you for reading that. So that very psalm, the Spirit of Prophecy says, and the 51st psalm is an expression of David's repentance. That's what Sister Lucy's just read in the 51st psalm, when the message of reproof came to him from God. Through, of course, Nathan. Brother Sidney put a very interesting quote regarding obedience and justification. Brother, would you like to read that to us?
We do not earn salvation by our obedience. For salvation is free gift of God, to be received by faith. But obedience is the fruit of faith. So without faith, we could not obey. And by disobeying God, the wages of it is death. So it's imperative that if we have faith, we obey. We know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth not hath not seen him, neither known him. Here is the true test. If we abide in Christ, if the love of God dwells in us, our feelings, our thoughts, our purposes, our actions will be in harmony with the will of God as expressed in the precepts of his holy law. Little children, let no man deceive you. Even he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. 1 John 3:7. Righteousness is defined by the standard of God's holy law, as expressed in the 10 precepts given on Sinai. So, faith that is alive is faith that works by love. So faith that has not worked is dead. Thank you.
Amen. It's very succinct. A faith that purifies the soul. Thank you, bro. Good to hear you. So we have this psalm bringing out the fact that one of heartbrokenness had mercy upon me because of his sin. And he says that obviously the sin was against Uriah and Bathsheba as well, and the guilt was there, It was against God as well, though, especially as he's the creator. You don't see any excuse. You don't see any attempt to vindicate. Oh, well, she was so beautiful. No. I love how David doesn't attempt to change the law at the same time either. There's no complaint against the justice of the law as king. He's the only one to blame. And we are blessed. We as Christians have been blessed when we came to recognize in Christ, in the Bible, ourselves as sinners and he is our savior. The joy of just stating things as they are. I had the privilege of sharing with my mum just this Sunday gone, you know, people think, you know, I've experienced, I don't know if I can speak for others in the room, but there are people that, sure, you've committed sins and that, and that could be quite 100% accurate, and then other things that they're not so sure of, but they seem, you know, judging motives and that. And you go, but the good thing of how the Christian mum is, you see, it's because I know I'm forgiven through the sinless one. Everyone says there's no one's perfect, but I'm not of that ilk. I'm not of that worldview. I believe Jesus is the sinless one. I believe he's my savior from sin. So actually there's more things I don't think you know about me that I'm guilty of, but I can rejoice because I have a savior. But one doesn't say that when they don't have one. And they don't know him, when they don't know what he represents. And it's a peace. And this is what David's bringing out in this psalm, a well-recognized and quoted psalm. So he asks that his sins may be blotted out. You know, the one with the record of everyone's actions, like we're told in Exodus 32, Isaiah 43 and 44. And Acts 3. And he says it wasn't only against Uriah and Bathsheba, but against God. And he goes on to tell us an interesting statement, and it's within the psalm. I don't think it's quite quoted here. There's a few dot, dot, dots here. But he mentions that thou mightest be justified, and essentially bringing out the fact that when God condemns, he is clear from any charge of injustice. And Romans chapter 3 actually brings that out in the New Testament. Paul says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou might be justified in thy sayings. And mightest overcome when thou, the judge of the earth, are judged on your judgments. Quite a thought. We think it's blasphemy. How can God want to be judged, but he's so open, he wants you to see how fair his judgments are. What a judge. What fairness is here brought out. So we have here David explaining that the fact that he wants to be cleansed, washed, purged with hyssop, that the only remedy was the purifying power from the cleansing of his defilement that became a part of him. That's what sin does, doesn't it? It clings to us, it becomes a part of the character, and unless repented of with the help of God, he gives us power to repent and to overcome, just stays there and it just festers and continues to grow. So we're character building, but are we character building for heaven or character building for eternal death after the devil's order? There's a couple of scripture songs in here, you know. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I love how it doesn't stop at just create a clean heart alone, but give us a new spirit. Because in saying that, he's a forgiven child. A new heart also will I give you. We're told in Ezekiel 36:26. That's also a scripture song. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I'll take the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And what an offer is here presented to us whenever we feel down and out and like we're in a rut of sin, if we're feeling guilty, the simple thought of realizing you can have a new mind, a new heart, and a conviction of being forgiven, and you're a new person. Have you ever met people that long for a new life, but they say the only way is by taking their life? You know, selfish act, but they say this, they don't realize it's our privilege to give it to them of a new life in Christ. All that you've ever been, all that you've ever known, God will forgive all the sins you've ever committed. Yes, well, sis, I love to hear you too. I know you know the scripture songs. Thank you. Yeah, Lord willing. What do you get out of this psalm? Does anyone have anything they'd like to share regarding this particular hymn, this song, this psalm?
Well, it's beautiful in that when you have a clean heart, which God can create, you can't do anything about your heart. You can choose to do the right thing. But God can create a clean heart and renew a right spirit, because when you have a clean heart, you have peace and joy and you feel God's love in its fullness. When there's part of your heart that is not clean, that you know you've sinned, it's heavy. It weighs heavy on you, and it's pretty hard to be joyful. In fact, you want to run away from God. You don't want to be close to him. And so you miss many, many blessings because you need a clean heart to be close to God and receive all of those blessings. Every time I read those words, a special tune goes through my head. It's probably different from the one you know, but it's a beautiful thing, and it's singing in my head.
Do you want to share?
I will. I'll just sing a short version of it, though. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Create in me a clean heart, O God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sis. See, you can see how important for David it was not only to be forgiven, but it really centers on the fact that if he's not, he recognizes that the Spirit of God, God's presence won't be with him. And that's the last thing he wants to happen. It's not even on his list. There's someone who wants to follow God, even though he knows that the sin has grieved the Holy Spirit. And what a turnaround comes about when he says, after reading all this, he comes and uphold me with thy free spirit, restore unto me the joy of salvation. So give me thy Holy Spirit. And then he says, then, I'll just underline it, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. Wow. So he's promising, or vowing as it were, to explain what he'd gone through, what he chose, and how God brought him out of it, that he might warn others off that ground. And for those who had been deceived into it, find mercy and forgiveness just like David did, free and full.
You know, it's easy to teach transgressors thy ways when your spirit is free. When you're feeling such happiness and joy, you just kind of bubble over and you just have to tell someone why you are so happy, because they want to know, how come you're so happy all the time? And it like opens the door.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, I mean, what could be better? This is better than anything this world has to offer. Forgiveness free and full for every sin? Just wonderful. And although we read earlier, it might have been Brother Bob a couple of weeks ago, but the fact that the effect on everyone as him as king, the significance of him being guilty of this sin, that he was not going to dwell on that, although he'd lost a certain amount of influence. He was going to glory in God's mercy, not dwelling on himself and on his sin or any justification, but rather repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus for mercy free and full. Which every one of his subjects needed as well. It's just they could say, hey, this is the king, God, one that was after God's own heart, which was true until he, for a while, didn't want to go after God's heart. But then he came back, how? By seeking repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of God. So he was sharing basically the plan of redemption all over, but with a new experience, not suggesting that to sin, that's the only way you're going to learn, because he was already recognizing he was in need of a savior before this great sin. So the good news is for all of us, from his example, David, recorded for us thousands of years old now, we will learn God grants mercy to those who forsake their sins, no matter how deep they may have fallen. And that's quite significant. I remember hearing a story of a dear fellow, a well-known preacher, and I'm not going to mention his name, but he was caught in a particular sin. It could say it's similar, different circumstances. He wasn't a king, but well-known preacher, a very important position. And then he was caught in with the prostitute. And he went to jail. And another well-known preacher came to him. And when he saw him, I mean, they just both cried together. And one of the things he said, the guilty party just said, I need the forgiveness of God. I mean, he's still preaching to this day, this person, but you can imagine how easy it would have been just to give up. I mean, imagine all the people that could just put him down. This is what it was like for David, perhaps on a greater scale in some ways, otherwise not. But David was not going to dwell on that. I'm going to dwell on God's goodness, God's forgiveness, I'm not going to dwell on my sins. They're real, and they're more real than you think they are. Perhaps you could state that, but it would be directing them to God and his great goodness and plan of redemption for us, not because he saves us in sin so we can just expect to presume to sin in the future, because none of us know when we're going to die, but rather to stay, to be known as, to be the one after God's own heart, as David became once again after his confession and forsaking. Does anyone have anything to add to that before we go to the next section?
I was just going to comment, God saves us from our sins and not in our sins. Because sin means death, and it truly is. It separates us from God. When we're separated from God, then we don't have life. He's the source of all life. So he saves us from death. He saves us from our sins. What a wonderful Savior.
I remember, sadly, when we were doing our missionary tour, we met these Baptist people, and they were brainwashed and thought that we could not obey the law of God, and nobody else did obey the law of God. And they were saying that we will always sin. So it's quite really sad that they're being brainwashed by their pastors. That as human beings, we could not achieve perfection of character. Only Jesus did. So the question there is that, did Jesus use his divine power in order not to sin? So the Bible says that he did not. He also had a sinful human nature like us. So they were, their argument was saying that Jesus perfected in obeying the law of God because he is God. It seems to me that Jesus was unfair. He gave us an example and a pattern for us to be perfect in obedience to his law. And yet he obeyed the law perfectly because he is God. So it seems that they are saying that God saves us in sin, but not from sin. Obviously, and I told them that if you continue to sin, you will die. And they were twisting and twisting and twisting. They were saying, oh, you'll only die physically. And you only have to do is to have faith in God, and then you'll be saved. And they didn't want me to speak to them about the truth that we hold on to. But they were just firing more and more and more questions to me. And I was surprised that the first question was, it's regarding the eating of the pork. So it's quite sad that they are professing that they have faith in God, but they continue to sin. And I told them, well, if you do that, the wages of sin is death. Obviously, the wages of sin is death. So it's quite sad, and hopefully some of them will wake up someday. But if you try to be stubborn, your probation will close.
Well, certainly Christ died on the cross because of sin, our sins. And that shows that sinning causes death. And then he was called alive by God. Jesus spent hours and hours in prayer with his Father in heaven, trying to walk the narrow way, and he didn't trust himself. He trusted God only, and God showed him how to walk the narrow way. And when God called him from the grave, he answered by coming alive, but Jesus did have the divine power in himself to raise himself from the grave, but again, he relied on his Father's mercy and love.
Amen. Amen. It seems amazing to many people, I suspect, that you should say that you can obey God with his help. An interesting story, bro. You probably have many you could share. I think it's fascinating that people are surprised. It can be fascinating. We're not to be surprised, of course, but you share with them. They'll come out and say, are you perfect? And you say, no, but do I believe I can keep God's commandments and what I know that's required of me right now by his help? Yes. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Sanctifying every moment of the day by God's grace. Just like forgiveness is granted, but that comes with repentance and overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of a testimony. And you mentioned a particular point that Paul brings out in Romans 8:3. He said, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh without God's help, God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, the human flesh. We're also told in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, he says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And then he says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And I think Sister Joan mentioned, Matthew 1:21, and ye shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Quite significant indeed. So we have David explaining at the end of this part that's quoted of the psalm that the blood guiltiness that he knows he's guilty of, like blood for blood, he would be killed because he was behind getting Uriah killed. He does plead, what most would, that the sentence wouldn't fall upon him, but he doesn't claim that he doesn't deserve it. At the same time as well, he doesn't claim he doesn't deserve it, as he clearly confesses what he's guilty of. Quite significant. Perhaps we've got time to look at one more paragraph, and that's in regards to what dear Sister Lucy's just read. Would someone like to read that from Thus in a Sacred?
Thus
Thus, in a sacred song to be sung in the public assemblies of his people, in the presence of the court, priests and judges, princes and men of war, and which would preserve to the latest generation the knowledge of his fall, the king of Israel recounted his sin, his repentance, and his hope of pardon through the mercy of God. Instead of endeavoring to conceal his guilt, he desired that others might be instructed by the sad history of his fall. Amen.
Amen, sis. So, sacred song that's to be sung in public assemblies of the people in front of the presence of the court, the priests and judges, princes and men of war, who would be the ones after his demise or his decease, would preserve the knowledge of his fall, which we have to this day. The sin of the king of Israel is going to be recounted. But it wasn't going to just stop there. It was going to include his repentance, by God's help, and his hope of pardon through the mercy of God, which, as you can no doubt see in Psalm 51, he clearly experienced now. It wasn't a matter of, oh, well, I think I am. Maybe I am, could be, possibly, maybe it'll happen this day. He was experiencing it now. And that's the effect life in Christ has. You can't help but share it because it's real now. We say we've got eternal life now. The Bible mentions that, but that means it in the spiritual sense because we know we all face the first death. Christ faced the first and the second death. Gethsemane and on the cross, that the well-known Psalm 22, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, what, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? To say that that separation that will happen to the one that doesn't accept God's gracious plan of saving them from their sins will finally have that separation, and it's eternal annihilation or destruction from the presence of God. What a blessing David was so willing to be moved by the Spirit. So instead of doing what is natural to do, this I'll just grab it, endeavoring to conceal his guilt, he had a different desire. He was of a different ilk. He was of a different turn of mind. Why? For others. That's what unselfishness does. That's how the Spirit leads, that others might be instructed by the sad history of his fall. His son had a similar experience, didn't he? Solomon. And we get a lot of information from the Proverbs about what he learned from his experience, and Ecclesiastes, of course. Any thoughts anyone would like to share? Insights, questions, comments? Okay, maybe we've got time for another paragraph. Would someone like to read that to us?
Now, so have a very good night and a happy Sabbath.
Sister Chaka, happy Sabbath. Nice to hear you.
Yes, I've enjoyed hearing your sermon. A good night. All right, you have a good night, and I'll try to join tomorrow. Try. Read one. All right, see you then. Bye.
Thanks for coming, sis. God bless. Godspeed.
David's repentance was sincere and deep. There was no effort to palliate his crime. No desire to escape the judgments threatened inspired his prayer. But he saw the enormity of his transgression against God. He saw the defilement of his soul. He loathed his sin. It was not for pardon only that he prayed, but for purity of heart. David did not give in, and he did not in despair give over the struggle. In the promises of God to repent sinners, he saw the evidence of his pardon and acceptance. Amen.
Amen. Powerfully read. Thank you, sis. So what defines David's repentance as sincere and deep? There was no effort to palliate his crime. And palliate, interesting word, just simply meaning disguising the seriousness of an offense. So he was doing none of that, no effort. He wasn't saying that the crime was a way of life, as if, in his repentance, he wasn't saying that's acceptable, especially in a king, right? He mentions that there's no desire, she mentions rather, that there was no desire to escape the judgments threatened. So they were real too, which inspired his prayer, in other words, out of fear. But, goes on, he sees the enormity of his transgression against God. He sees the defilement of his soul. He loathes his sin. And that's interesting. He saw the defilement of his soul. He loathes his sin. It's the sin that's the problem. Obviously, it's linked to himself, but he doesn't want to take his life or cut that off, right? And it was not for pardon only that he prayed. But for purity of heart. That's why she calls it sincere and deep, isn't it? Goes beyond speaking of that what's gone before and sorrowful. You know, you probably heard the saying, meaning what you say and saying what you mean. And we can do that with God, as holy, as pure, as true, as lovely as he is. And we think, wow, I don't know how I would come under that when I see and look at my sins. We can be frank with him. Reverential, but frank about who we are. And hoping in his mercy. And David got it. And what a blessing this is on record for us. Now, it's interesting, she also adds that David did not in despair give over the struggle. Now, why do you think David did not in despair give over the struggle? I mean, what would the struggle be? What would the struggle be, and why did he not give in the process?
The struggle would be with the devil saying, God can never forgive something like that. Look how many commandments you broke. And the devil would throw it up in your face to try to make you think so much about what you did and how unworthy you were or God's forgiveness that he would even venture to say, just give up, accept it, you did it. Now you're unclean, every whit of you is unclean. So if you have a clean heart, like David prayed for purity of heart, because he did not want to sin. He didn't even want to have a tendency to sin. Please give me a clean heart so I don't even think those things anymore. And, because you have to admit the devil is a strong foe. He's a terrible foe. If he could fool all of the angels who were close to God in heaven in a perfect place, then you know what he could do down here in an imperfect place where there's a tendency to sin. But if you have a clean heart and God has created in you a clean heart and God keeps his word, then when you're tempted, you say, nope, not going there. With God's help, not going there.
Amen, dear sis. And some comments in the room. Struggle with self. Which is clearly another. Absolutely. So then the question is, why did David not in despair give over the struggle? We know what the struggle is. Sister Joan was sharing a number of them and struggle with self in the text chat. So why didn't he give over to the struggle? Why didn't he give in to the devil? Because like the answer's in the paragraph, why didn't he give in? What happened? Why did he not give it to the, you know, the temptation starts? You're gone too far. You're a man. You're the king. I mean, who do you think? And you're a man after God's heart. You could imagine just some of the things that were going through his heart. Amen. Through prayer and trusting God for his help, maybe because he really knew that God was with him. And how could he have faith in prayer and trusting God for help and really know that God was with him unless he recognized in the promises of God to repentant sinners, he saw evidence of his pardon and acceptance. Now we say that requires faith, right? Promises of God. So he sees himself there, repentant sinner. Well, I'm a sinner, Lord, but that's not all I am. I've accepted your power to give me the power to recognize my sins and not just do that, but repent of them, turning away of, loathing it, finding a distaste for it, not making excuse for it, like, oh, I'm born with human nature and I've got hereditary and cultivated tendencies. Oh, you know, how many say, it's because a man, oh, it's because I'm a man, you know, or I'm a woman, or I'm a child, I'm only a child, as an excuse. It was the promises of God, believing himself as a repentant sinner, that by faith, it obviously was by faith, he saw the evidence of his pardon and acceptance. And no doubt he would have seen it by sight in the sense that his kingship was not taken away from him when it could have been. He could have, you know, the penalty was death. He would have to die, but God forgave him without putting the penalty on him, instead on the child of his sin. You know, how much that sounds a lot like us, right? Puts it all on his son instead of on us who deserve the penalty that Christ cop, that we might receive the righteousness that we had no share in. And the power of that life we don't have inherently in ourselves to produce. Interesting. Yeah, amen. What a merciful, loving Savior is our God. Amen. Is there any other comments? We'll leave it there for this meeting today, tonight. But is there anything else anyone would like to share in relation to what we've looked at in Patriarchs and Prophets?
I just want to say thank you so much for taking over for Elder Robert. These meetings are so important because you get such hope and joy from meeting with brothers and sisters who want to find out what the truth is and they practice it. You can feel the love in this room. I wouldn't miss it for anything.
Oh, amen, sis. I think when you shared that, I just thought, you know, it's so helpful when we can share our different experiences with others that we have experienced when seeking, by God's help to share something like Brother Sydney brought out today regarding just it's a simple biblical thing of you can't stop sinning. That's a common thing that my understanding is actually believed. They really believe you don't have a willpower through Christ. It's sanctified and empowering to give us the power to be acting as adopted sons and daughters of God. And so it's interesting to get the different responses or the same responses that others get or your experiences. And speaking of testimonies or songs or requests, does anyone have anything they'd like to share with us? Prayer, praises, requests, song requests, testimonies? Please go right ahead.
Sister Lynn had a nice song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Sister Lynn, great song.
Okay, I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. I am so happy. Oh yes, so happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. Amen.
I think I heard Mom singing that along with you. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Okay.
Sister Maude wants to say thanks to everyone for our prayers and thanks to all those that are sick and feeling much better. God is good, and we still keep them in our prayers daily. Thank you for your prayers for me, because little did I know that I would live this long. But my mother died 2 months before her 100th birthday. I don't know if I'll make it that far, but God is good, and we never know. All we can say is praise the Lord and thank him for his goodness.
Amen.
We pray for each one of those that are still sick every day. And God in his mercy will let us know his how they come and how long between now and next week.
Amen.
Amen, sister. Wow, your mum nearly made it to 100. Wow, you might make it to 120 or more. Well, let's hope that the world has come to an end, because Jesus has come for his own. It's a real thought, isn't it? We're in the last days. We can say that with certainty. Yes, sis. Do you want to join me, sis? You thinking of Psalm 51?
I am, brother. I'd join you if I were there, but I don't think it'll work from a distance. Too much lag, I guess.
Well, we could try. They've tried it in the past and it's worked to an extent.
I don't think singing together's worked. I'll leave it to you, brother.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. Praise the Godhead. That's a real experience for the Christian.
I'd like to thank the Lord as well for keeping, you know, my spirit calm. Work has been tremendous, 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 to say the least. And more and more, it's like, dear Father, I really need to retire, you know. It's not just the stress that is being created, but also kind of underhanded things that are going on that is very distressful. They tell you one thing, but they're actually doing something else and blatantly lie in your face or want you to uphold them in lies that they're telling. And I'm not going to do that. And it becomes very distressful. So I was just speaking to a coworker earlier today, and I said, you know, God's word tells us, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Galatians, I think, is 6:9, if I remember correctly. And I say, but Lord, I feel like I'm fainting. You know, it's so hard. So only by his grace that he has given me the joy this evening to praise him, number one, and to give me that joy to be here this evening and not to shy away. And remembering Hebrews 10:25, you know, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, you know, but exhorting one another even more as we see the day approaching. And we know that the day is approaching, which is God's soon second coming. So definitely been keeping you all in prayer, especially our dear brethren that have not been feeling well. And just praising the Lord for his goodness and his mercy to be able to have joy in the heart, even with circumstances at work or at home or what have you. And just praising him for that.
I just would like to thank the Lord for a good timing that he brought into our lives. Before the lockdown started, we resigned from our jobs, and now we are fully self-employed, and no one could coerce us in order to accept the vaccine or whatever. As we see, a lot of people are being now coerced to do things against their will, and they're practicing us and conditioning us for the mark of the beast. I can feel that Sandy Low is on the horizon, and it's approaching quite rapidly, as what the Spirit of Prophecy told us in Volume 9, page 11, it says here, let me read it to you. The agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final movements will be rapid ones. So we thank God that he gave us the except to being coerced from our jobs, which to me is quite imperative, if you can, to be employed and have an employer to coerce and force you to do things against your will, especially to disobey God's law. So we are in a time which is very exciting and also fearful and perilous time. We see the approach of the storm coming and four winds, which the angel called unto, is slowly being released, and the Holy Spirit is being withdrawn from the earth because of the wickedness and perversity of the people who rebel against the law of God. So I know God knew that only little people there are quite a few people who will be saved according to evangelism. Page 329. In comparison to the number that rejects the truth, those that receive it will be very small. But one soul is more value than worlds beside. We must not become discouraged, although our work does not seem to bring large results. Yes, this is very inspiring to me, because we visited a lot of families, a lot of houses already. It seems that we're not getting much good result yet. But although we see few, 1, 2, 3 people earnestly accept the truth, then it's the value of it is more than worlds besides. So one soul, if we can convert one soul to God, is of more value than the world. So this coming persecution is really quite daunting as well as inspiring to us, that we see that our hope is being fulfilled and Jesus is coming soon.
Amen, brother. You know, thank you for sharing that. And when you think about the work that's committed to us, we wish everyone would believe and accept it, but most are not going to. It's amazing. You just look at Revelation 13. I'm not saying many won't be saved, but the majority are going to go along with the plan because it agrees with the carnal nature for one reason or other, a multitude of reasons. They're just not going to see to it that they accept the wonderful plan of salvation so freely provided. But praise the Lord, we can't read minds and hearts, otherwise we might not work for anyone. Don't want to be like that. You know, God's so good to us, isn't he, when he explains to us, you know, what rut he brought us out of, you know, out of the mire to wash us off and to stand in Jesus, to live for Jesus, to be a son and daughter of the Most High. There's no higher station. One can be exalted even in this life. It's real. I was trying to find the scripture song for Galatians 6:9, and I have not found it, but it is a scripture song. I only know half of it. Haven't sung it in years, I think, but it's a good one. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. My soul, and that's the part I don't know. My soul wait thou only upon God. My soul wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is of him. My soul wait thou only upon God. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not faint, for in well doing we shall reap when we faint not. Amen. On the spot, you can remember it. Thanks for being patient with us. What a blessing scripture songs are. I'm starting to go through the list. Brother Bob's got it from a number of brothers and sisters singing different tunes. Very powerful. They are, well, some can be challenging, but I'm finding I'm learning one every day in the bus. And sometimes I get desperate. Oh, you have the break. And then you just forget how the tune starts or how it ends. Oh, and we're not allowed to touch electronic things in the bus. So I have to wait till the next trip, And it gets a bit anxious because I don't want to be doing nothing while I'm bus driving. It's so good to try to be multitasking, but they're very catchy. I'm amazed at how, you can just do one song in one day while you're driving, and I'm learning it before I even start, the first trip, which is really good, so you can do more quickly. So it's very, very powerful way, especially when you need that scripture. I mean, I was just talking to a dear fellow. His name's Richard. He's a doctor. He lost his medical license. I'm not sure why. And his wife's a doctor. And I've never met them, and I was arranging to meet them because apparently they moved from where they were. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And we had a talk, a conversation, and he's telling me that Jesus is now our Sabbath, because he was agreeing with a lot of things about the commandments. They're going to judge us, and even the Ten Commandments. And I said, well, amen, that's true. And we had a few quotes together, and there are other things he was agreeing with, but then he was sure that Jesus is now our Sabbath. I said, well, Jesus didn't become a Sabbath day. He is our rest, like resting from sin, but the Sabbath is the Sabbath. It's a commemoration of his creation, creative power, and the power he's working to save us from our sins right now and sinning. So I said, I can't find that in the Bible. And he needed to go. He had another appointment, and we never arranged to meet after that conversation, because he said, what do you want to actually catch up for? Because he actually remembered what we talked about years ago. Yeah, that's right, years ago, about the importance of the Ten Commandments and the work that's going on in heaven. And so when he asked me in the initial conversation, he said, so James, why do you want to meet up anyway? But he didn't quite say it like that, but we haven't actually met. We've only talked over the phone. I've only heard from him from other friends. And so I said to him that, brother, you mentioned in your text, because he's one of the individuals I send a text for the day. I just started doing it for him, and he hasn't stopped. He hasn't said to stop. And I said, well, you mentioned that you're so busy and you're calling people out of Babylon. I said, wow, that's the business my brothers and sisters are in. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. I found that, inspiring. And I said, and when you hear people talk about the one world order or something related to it with COVID and that, I said, I'm noticing in the circles that they talk about the political side of it. They talk about the economic side of it. They sometimes might talk about the education of it, but they tend to miss the religious part. And I said, don't you think over almost half the population, or more than that, are religious, and almost half of them are Christian. Don't you think religion's going to have a part with it when you look at the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, and the symbols and the signs? I said, and it's all to do with the commandments. It's only dealing with worship that, it's going to tell whose side you're on. And he said, so you think Sunday is the mark of the beast? Because obviously we've talked about this before and he hasn't forgotten it and he's probably talked to others. And I shared with him, well, brother, that's the only commandment that deals with worship. It's not the 10th commandment. It's not the 9th, 8th, 7th, 6th, 5th. It's not the 3rd, 2nd, 1st. It's only the 4th that talks about worship of the God, the maker of the heavens and the earth. And he said, something like, I don't believe that. And the Sabbath was made for the Jews. And I said, no, well, see, now you're wrong again. I mean, we were talking some pretty frank stuff. I just said, well, now you're wrong again. I didn't know we were going to have this conversation. So out came the Bible. And I said, well, let's ask God. Because in Exodus 16, he says, how long will you break my laws and commandments? So he's saying, so that's 4 chapters before the exit, the Sinai account. And I said, but it's more than that. Where did it come from? We just have to go to the, first page of the Bible, Genesis 2, 1 to 3. Wow. It's beautiful. He said, yes, but that's not what you think it is. I said, is that because there were no Jews for about 2,500 years? Maybe you're tempted to say that. But let's ask God. Let's go to the commandments. And I can hear him flicking the pages to go to the commandment, Exodus 28 to 11. I didn't have to go there because I memorized it, quoting parts, the main parts, and then saying why. And listen to it, brother. Listen to why God has blessed it. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the 7th day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day. And he's listening. But he's so certain I'm under the Galatian curse, I said, well, leading to Christ, but leading to Christ, did Christ come to take away the law? He said, think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And I said, that word fulfill in Greek is pleroo. It means to fill up. It doesn't mean take away at some point in time, to fill up. And he said, and remember, he came to magnify the law and make it honorable, because he was saying Christ did greater things for the law. I said, yeah. He magnified it, made it honorable. Amen. So he didn't change it. Didn't change anyone. Because if you can change one, brother, I can change the rest. But it's not so. He came to magnify and make it honorable. And I said, who gave the law anyway? He said, well, we know Christ is God. And that's right. It was Christ on Mount Sinai. So he's not going to contradict himself. So anyway, he left the conversation and I've sent him some tracts, although he doesn't know they're coming. And I've also suggested, his name's Richard, and I also immediately texted him when he hung up that if you're sure that we're no longer bound to obey the commandments of God and that it's going to judge us, please show me. And he hasn't responded yet. So just a little happening. God help us, help these dear souls that really believe what they believe or seemingly do. It's a real shame because this dear guy, he actually home churches. You can imagine his influence he has on people, especially being a doctor. He would gain a lot of trust where, I wouldn't. And unfortunately, he's been teaching this way. And I said, be careful, bro, because Christ warned us, he doesn't call it a blessing. But in Matthew 5, he says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And I said, that's not because he's in heaven, but they're going to be called the least by those who are in heaven already, right? But whosoever, as in the angels, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I hope it sinks deep. I'm sending in the curse of the law, Brother Bob. You'll be so proud. That's the first track because I thought he'd like that. A lot of people, the curse of the law. Yes, get rid of that law that saves, through Christ, that convicts of sin. And hopefully he'll feel the same way too. Brother Richard and Sister Jane and their family. Well, is there anything anyone would like to share further? Any prayer, praise, requests? I should just say in relation to work, we will continue to keep you in prayer, Sister Lynn. That sounds like some pretty serious stuff going down there in your life with your work. I am so glad I still have a bus driving job. I sort of share with my mum, you know, and others that, you know, I don't want to, you know, entertain the idea I'm going to have it forever. It's a blessing. The times aren't the greatest, you know, for eating times and getting up times, but, you know, every job has that, pros and cons. But I said, you know, love to work for myself, but what to do? Not sure. Don't know. So I really thank God. It really makes that much more precious when you really don't know what the future holds. And even if you did, if it should lack any praise to God, I'll be careful about what I think I know, because no one knows the future. Even if they did, just one day, they'd be so glad on the stock market, wouldn't they? But anyway, is there anything anyone would like to share further before we close tonight? Don't feel rushed. Anyone want to share anything audibly, please feel free.
Amen. And then just to add that I was saying to my mom just this past week, I said, you know, the way things are going in the world right now, and truly prophecy is being fulfilled in our eyes right and left, we truly can see how the last movements are rapid ones. I said, who's to say that before even having to leave work, God could come? You know, I mean, we know that there's still some things perhaps that have to transpire, what have you, but we also know also that everything that we are foretold in prophecy is not going to happen at the same time in the same place. And there are things that perhaps are happening in different places that we're not even aware of. And it just behooves us to be ready every second. You know, we're not promised the next second. We're not promised the next second of life or anything like that. And so, yeah, I praise the Lord that, yes, I can work from home and things like that. And it just becomes hard when, you know, you see blatant lies or they, you know, try to include you in their lie or want you to be that. So, but yeah, I think that, you know, the things that we're seeing as far as with the vaccines and how they're making it even worse more and more. And sadly, one of my brothers came over this past week, you know, with my mom and things like that. And he had taken the vaccine and he had the actual little card thingy that I guess they have to give you, the, what are they calling it, the vaccine passport or what have you. And I was saddened to see that, you know. And then my other brother, the truck driver, was here for a minute as well. And I asked him about it and he says, well, his company hadn't mandated it yet, but if they did, he would, because he has to work. And I felt sad because I said, you know, God help us, because, you know, if we can give in to something so apparently easily just because you need to work, what happens when they enforce the Sunday law? We already know the blue laws are on the book. And I pray, I truly pray that I would stand strong, that when that time comes, you know, to not give in, you know, and the only way to do that is to stand strong now. Because, you know, the mark of the beast in the hand is that you may not believe in it, but you're going along with it because you, quote unquote, have to work. And I don't want that to be the case, you know. So, yeah, it's just a matter of continuing to keep everything in prayer, you know.
I have something to share. I saw a documentary regarding one of the Adventist independent ministry, Pastor Doug Batchelor, was asked regarding the vaccine, because it seems that the ECA leadership now is advocating taking the vaccine. And he was asked regarding the pig's cell and the aborted fetal cell in the vaccine. So it seems that he was reminded that the Seventh-day Adventist doesn't eat pork. because it will defile the body, things like that. Because it's forbidden in the Bible to eat pork. And he was asked why he advocates also having the vaccine. And surprisingly, he answered that it was already purified. So you can have the vaccine with pig cell and aborted fetal cell because it was already purified. And it seems that there's quite a majority of the SA people are taking and going ahead with the bandwagon of getting the vaccine. Here in the Philippines, I think that was a week ago, the government are always double-talking. In one side, they say that, oh, it's not going to be mandatory because it hasn't been approved by the FDA. It's just an experimental gene therapy, things like that. But on the other side, they were threatening the people to be jailed if they would not take the vaccine or threaten them not to get out of their houses, for they are endangering their neighbors because they could be the source of these variant viruses. So we can see that they are now conditioning us for the mark of the beast. And they are coercing people because of, for the reason that they couldn't buy or sell if they would not take the vaccine. So I think it's just a matter of time that this is going to evolve into a Sunday worship. Because of the climate change is the vehicle in which the papacy would tell the world that because of these calamities, it won't stop until we enforce the Sunday rest. So from the COVID-19 lockdowns to the climate lockdowns and then universal Sunday rest. So we can see that the end is near and we have to be aggressive and zealous in the work of the Lord, regardless of the result. It says here in the Desire of Ages 121.3, in the last great conflict of the controversy with Satan, those who are loyal to God will see every earthly support cut off because they refuse to break the law in obedience to the earthly powers. They will be forbidden to buy or sell. So it targets the human core necessity, which is food and clothing, which is the buying and selling. And Satan knew that this is the weakness of humanity. You know, it will finally be decreed that they shall be put to death. So last week there was a panic here in the Philippines in one of the city in the metro area because it seems that the government was promoting a lottery. If people will have the vaccine, they have the chance to win a house and lot, coupled with threatening the people not to go out of their house because they will be jailed if they will not take the vaccine. So people rushed in the centers to be vaccinated. And because of that, there was a sense of panic in that place, and people crowded in one area, not minding about what they said, social distancing, things like that, in order to have the vaccine. So we see that time is near at hand. And in PK 184, it says, human laws will be made so stringent that man and woman will not dare to observe the seventh day Sabbath. for fear of wanting food and clothing. So people's weakness is regarding eating, buying, selling clothes, things like that. So if you take away from them, they will surrender everything. They will join the world in transgressing God's law. The earth will be wholly under my dominion, says Satan. So through the papacy, Satan will do his will. And sadly, majority of the people, even those who are well-educated, they're not able to discern what is going on because they do not read the scripture. They do not study the word of God. A lot of educated people, even in our place, engineers, etc., etc., they propagated for the vaccine because of the lie that the media are broadcasting every day. So the only safety for us is to study God's word. It's our shield. God's word is our shield for the coming deception that is going to deceive the whole world through the sorcery of the papacy. So one last text that I'll read in Revelation 18:23. The whole world are deceived of the papacy. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great man of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. So we see that this prophecy is now being fulfilled, that all the world, all the nations are being deceived by the sorcery of the papacy. The papacy, the devil, has his own right arm, which is the counterfeit health message, which the great controversy says as the temperance movement. This temperance movement is also a counterfeit health message of the papacy and the devil. So those who will not adhere to this temperance movement will be deemed as the enemies of reform and morality. So if we will not go along with all this agenda, we will be labeled as rebels, according to great controversy. Let me show you the patient. So, it's in great controversy, GC 587. Yet this very class put forth the claim that the fast spreading corruption is largely attributable to the desecration of the so-called Christian Sabbath. And the enforcement of Sunday observance would greatly improve the morals of society. So this is the reason of enforcing Sunday law, in order to improve the morals of society because of the corruptions that are engulfing the world. This claim is especially urged in America, where the doctrine of true Sabbath has been most widely preached. Here, the temperance work, one of the most prominent and important moral reforms, is often combined with Sunday movement. So the devil is going to counterfeit the third in this message, the right arm of the third in this message, which is called reform. He is going to counterfeit this with the temperance reform or the temperance movement along with the Sunday movement. That's why we see that these whole things are packaged in with the Sunday movement. And the advocates of the latter represents themselves as laboring to promote the highest interest of society. So they're promoting that the vaccine is for the good of society, for the sake of their health. And those who refuse to unite with them are denounced as the enemies of temperance and reform. So in a very short period of time, those people who will not accept this will be denounced as the enemies of temperance and reform. Thank you.
Amen, dear bro. You know, and you think about that one quote in that one verse, Revelation 13:11, it says, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." But those two horns aren't broken. So whatever follows thereafter, that he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, they claim to be constitutional. Civil and religious liberty, we're just upholding them. It's constitutional to take away certain rights for the betterment of society. And so the world should follow our example. Hey, Brother Joel. Good day. Well, it's been a blessing once again to be with you all. And thank you for those insights, bro, especially in connection with health. Very interesting. Well, before we have a song, our dear brother Dick can't sing us away, unfortunately, but I'll put the whole song up so you can all sing with us. But, before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Precious Father in heaven, thank you for gracing our lives with saving knowledge. Thank you for the faithfulness shown in David's life that's promised to us. It's vouchsafed to us that if we confess our sins, if we live up to the convictions of our conscience, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you that you care for the whole person, the whole conduct, the whole thought process, and the words, that your power is real. We really can be Christians. We really can be followers of God. We really can choose to yield our powers to you, knowing who we're yielding to, because we have the privilege of knowing what you're like. Thank you for the precious Bible and the wonderful spiritual devotions, especially the gift of the spirit of prophecy in our midst. Thank you for fellowship with brothers and sisters in life, format and being able to relate and testify. And Father, continue to help our dear sisters and brothers that are facing unusual circumstances, especially with employment as well, that you would keep them from falling. That is a promise in Jude, the book of Jude, through Jesus, that we, like David, will not dwell on our past sins. And if we, the only thing we could dwell on in safety is thy mercy toward them. And the proof of the evidence that we have in the promises of God, seeing in the providence of God, your precious converting power manifested by the Holy Spirit in helping us, causing us to hate what we once loved and love what we once were adverse to, toward. Increase in us a love for that which is good, true, pure, honest, holy, lovely, of good report, that we would be filled more with these things so that it would be seen in our life and we cannot but help tell people about it, that what's at stake is a whole new life for them that they've never known, and a love from a God of love that perhaps they've never even heard of, much less experienced in the plan of redemption. For not just their souls, but for every single human being on the planet at the same time. Thank you for allowing precious sister Ma to reach 90. Thank you for my dear mother to reach 69 today. We thank you that your power to uphold in the spiritual as well as the physical is real. We know you just didn't create and that's it. You're an absentee landlord. Oh no. You never left. You had a plan already. Should we fall, should mankind fall into sin? Thank you for putting it into action immediately when needed. Just when we needed it most. That's what you're like, and you're maintaining that same life. The life on this planet, the lives of people. Help my dear mother and others that we know that don't have a saving relationship that's led to baptism, to testify of a conversion to Christ and to want to follow him in all areas. When we have a thus saith the Lord for what it is that we're called to be and do as Christians. Continue to help our dear, the dear souls that were witnessed to, that were by the recent evangelistic activity in Oklahoma and elsewhere for that matter, that it has and is taking place, like dear brother Sydney and the efforts put forth, that they and others and those who are labored for will continue to be blessed, knowing that as laborers together with God, they are blessed with the knowledge of that and the experience of having partaken, and those who've been labored for knowing that the kingdom of God has come close to them and it's up for them to decide what kingdom do they really love. Help them realize that they're in the valley of decision if they have not chosen Christ and his righteousness and his kingdom of working and his kingdom of grace before the kingdom of glory that follows when his people are made ready. And thank you for attending to every single need of us, whether spoken or unspoken, unable to be uttered. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making this communion and relationship with heaven possible and real, just like it was for David, especially, Lord, even if we feel like we've not committed a great sin, help us remember all sin is eternal death. That's the sentence. And we only have to look at the cross, that our our attitude would be that of what you said once, Jesus, when you walk this earth, he that or she that's forgiven little loves little. Help us be of the latter kind, but they who are forgiven much love much. And thank you for doing this and healing in all areas in your powerful timing and through the grace of the kingdom of grace in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. You know, our dear brother Dick, he must have got word. I think Sister Elaine might have dropped him a line. He kindly sent us the words to the whole song. So everyone can join in. Everyone does join in, but perhaps someone would like to take a line. Now there's three of them. Would someone like to start us off?
Life has its joys and sorrows too. Sometimes the mist will hide our view. If we would hope and strength renew, there's just one thing to do. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest night will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.
When darkened clouds have filled your sky, and faithless friends have passed you by, when prone to doubt and reason why, there's just one thing to do. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest night will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.
Amen. So when your faith is sorely tried, and earnest prayers have been denied, whene'er you need a faithful guide, there's just one thing to do. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up. Amen. Thank you, Brother Dick. We're looking forward to him coming back very soon. And thank you, Brother Bob, making such an effort to come back online with us. Hope you get well soon completely. Until next time. I'll be with you till we meet again.